I had a wonderful PowerPoint sermon prepared, and it was amazing. And through the wonders of modern technology, I managed to delete it. And so, you will not be seeing that today. Anyway, but we're still going to have a wonderful lesson this morning on the song that we just sang, A Beautiful Life. And so maybe instead of PowerPoint, you can open your song books to that song that we just sang, A Beautiful Life, and look at those lyrics while we're thinking about God's Word and the message from that wonderful song. You know, that song has been a favorite of mine for a long time. And I know that it's a favorite of many of yours as well. And it's a very popular song that we sing and has some wonderful lyrics that remind us that of what really true beauty is. You know, I especially like the title of this song, A Beautiful Life. A Beautiful Life. Because as you go through this song and as you sing this song, you know, it talks about doing good to others and helping other people and saying kind words, praising God as we do from time to time, and living for God each and every day. But the chorus of the song is very interesting as well, because it reminds us that life is short. Life is transient. It's fleeting. And one day, we're going to be meeting God in judgment. And that's why we live this wonderful, beautiful life, you see. So let's talk about that song, A Beautiful Life, this morning. And we're going to start with Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. And that verse goes very well with this song. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Now I want you to think about that verse for a moment. It is a universal statement. Let us do good to all men, or all people, or all of mankind. But it is based on our opportunity, you know. God doesn't demand of us that we be some kind of superhuman and we have to fly, you know, from household to household every single day to do good for someone in that regard. As we have opportunity, he says, let us do good unto all men. But you see, our good isn't limited to just a select few. We do good to everyone that we meet, regardless of who they might be, regardless of who they are, as we have opportunity. And in thinking about this song, A Beautiful Life, and the chorus and the stanzas of the song, it so reflects that statement that Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 makes. And so let's think about this song and think about how it teaches us, first of all, to serve others, serving others. And then secondly, how it reminds us to live in a pure way, pure living. And third, how it reminds us about our mortality. Our mortality. All right? So first of all, let's talk about serving others. And as we think about this song, you know, this song talks about serving others in several parts. In the beginning, verse 1, each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. And this reminds us, maybe that term golden deed kind of reminds us of the golden rule, right? In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do unto you, you do also for them. For this is the law and the prophets. The golden rule basically says, look, how you want others to treat you, that's how you should treat other people. And we practice that golden rule because it reminds us that, you know, if I don't want somebody to treat me badly, then I don't want to treat them badly either. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. So the golden rule and loving our neighbor as ourself, they go together. And they teach us that we need to do good to other people. Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. We need to practice that golden rule and look to the needs of others. But then we serve others not only by practicing the golden rule, but by being a good example. And this is verse 2 in the song. To be a child of God each day, my light must shine along the way. And of course, that's a reference to Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, that it may give light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. My light must shine along the way. We've got to let those lights shine. And that, you know, reminds us of another song, right? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And when we let our lights shine, we're being a good example to others. We serve other people. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, and he said this, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." An example. We are to be an example. We need to serve others by practicing the golden rule. We need to serve others by being a good example. And we need to serve others by helping other people. While going down life's weary road, I'll try to lift some traveler's load. I'll try to turn the night to day, make flowers bloom along the way. And you see, that's what serving others is all about. Trying to make the lives of others better. Trying to improve them. Trying to help their lives go easier with the difficulties and the challenges that everyone faces each and every day. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 15, Paul wrote, "See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all." Pursuing what is good, you see, that's what we need to do. Find something good to do. Someone once said, "What are you going to do today?" And the answer was, "The next best thing." The next best thing. We're always striving to do the next best thing. And I think that's a great way to look at life. You know, while going down life's weary road, I'll try to lift some traveler's load. I'll try to turn the night to day, make flowers bloom along the way. Do the next best thing. And in doing that, we can serve others. But this song, A Beautiful Life, is also about pure living. For example, in verse 2, we see, "I'll sing His praise while ages roll, and strive to help some troubled soul." Sing His praise. You know, we live pure, first of all, by praising God. That's part of having a pure life, is recognizing who God is and what He does for us, and understanding our relationship with Him. In Hebrews 13 and verse 15, we read, "Therefore by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Continually offering the sacrifice of praise. At every moment, I can praise God. At every moment, I can lift up my thoughts to Him in thanksgiving. And why is that? Because at every moment, He is there for me. You know, God has infinite attention. We do not. We can only focus on one thing at a time. And sometimes, even when we do that, we don't do a very good job. But God has infinite attention. And He has infinite time for each and every one of us. And for the Christian, He is there right beside us every day, walking with us hand in hand. We need to praise Him. We need to thank Him. We need to give Him the glory because He helps us in so many ways. Psalm 107 verse 21 says this, "Oh, that men would give thanks unto the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." We live pure by praising God. But we also live pure by being kind, good, and pure in our lives. Verse 3 of this song says, "The only life that will endure is one that's kind and good and pure." And I especially like that little phrase, kind and good and pure. That's what we need to be working for every day. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. And James reminds us in James chapter 1 and verse 27. He says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." There is such a thing as pure religion, and God wants us to practice that within our lives. Be kind and good and pure every day. And then in verse 3, we live pure lives by taking a stand for God. And this is what he says here in this verse. "And so for God, I'll take my stand. Each day I'll lend a helping hand." You know, whether others are kind to us or not, we can be kind to them in return. My attitude, my life, how I think about myself does not depend upon what other people do. It really doesn't. But that's the failure that so many make in their lives. They look at how other people look at them and they evaluate themselves based upon that. And unfortunately, we have a society that kind of encourages that behavior, that pressures us to think in the ways that they want us to think. But the Bible says that we're not defined in that way, but rather, that we should only be concerned about what God thinks about us. And you see, that's a great blessing, because God is so much more merciful, so much more gracious, and so much more giving than people in the world. And so I want to think about myself how God thinks about me. And if I will identify myself in that way, I will be able to help others. Regardless of how they treat me, I can treat them well, because I know who I am in relationship to my God. "And so for God, I'll take my stand. Each day I'll lend a helping hand. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Ephesians 6 and verses 10 through 11. And Jesus said to the church at Ephesus, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Revelation 2 and verse 10. And so to live pure, we need to take our stand for God. This wonderful song, A Beautiful Life, teaches us how life can be beautiful. Number one, by helping others. Number two, by living pure. And number three, by recognizing our mortality. And you see, this is the chorus of the song. When we get down to the chorus, you know, in the song, we have that wonderful bass lead, right? Life's evening sun. I just love that part. You know, it's so powerful. But then we listen to that powerful bass lead and we understand what it's talking about. It's talking about the something that is not very powerful, you know, as the world thinks about it, right? And that's our own mortality. Every single one of us must face our own mortality. Life's sun is sinking low. There are only so many days that we have on this earth, and they are rapidly passing away. We kind of fool ourselves to a certain degree as we go through life and tell ourselves we have a lot more time than we really do. But the fact of the matter is, time is fleeting. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, we are admonished to remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. And you see, that's talking about how swift life moves along, how we need to remember God before those days are coming when it will be very difficult for us. In James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15, James has this to say to us. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. You know, for the longest time, I would use that expression, and I still use it. There's nothing wrong with using it. You know, saying about the future, something that you're planning. We will do this if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills. And I think that's a great expression. But I think it's interesting to note that the full expression that James says right here is this. If the Lord wills, we shall live. Now that takes it to a little different level, right? Because that's recognizing our mortality. If the Lord wills, we shall live and do whatever it is we're planning on doing. People love to make plans. And there's nothing wrong with making plans. But we need to remember that our plans need to be made in light of eternity. And not just in thinking of ourselves in a selfish way. If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Life's sun is sinking low. And just a few more days, and I must go. Again, we turn back to the book of Ecclesiastes and chapter 12 and verse 7, which says, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. In Psalm chapter 90 and verse 10, we read, the days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Just a few more days, and I must go. Only 365 days in the year. And we only have about 70 or 80 of those. And sometimes a little more, Lord willing. But we must recognize that one day we're going to leave this life and we will have to face God in judgment. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go. To do what? To meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. And what kind of deeds will I meet when I get there on that day that the sun sets on my life? I hope it will be the kind that we can say that are deeds of serving others, that are deeds of a pure life, because one day we will give an account of our deeds to the Lord. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says. And Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14 says, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So nothing will be hidden on that day. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10 says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body, whether they be good or bad. And so let's make sure that we do good things. Let's have that beautiful life, a life of serving others, a life of pure living, and a life that recognizes our mortality. And as we remember that each and every day, you see, we will be motivated to do the next good thing. And when we come to judgment, we stand before the Lord, we will have a history then of doing good. And that will truly be a beautiful life. Maybe you need to have a beautiful life because you haven't been living beautifully. You haven't been serving others. You haven't been living pure. You haven't been living in recognition of your mortality. And you want to change that this morning. And Jesus Christ offers forgiveness and He offers wonderful hope, because in that day of judgment when we face God, we don't want to stand alone. We want Jesus there with us, holding our hand and saying, this is my brother, or this is my sister, and he or she is mine, and my blood covers them and wipes away all of their sins, so that the only things then that will be left to give to the Lord is that which is good. See, that's what Jesus does for us. And if you need to know Him this morning, if you need to become His child today, if you need to be a member of His body, then we encourage you to hear His word and believe it, repent of your sins, confess Him as Lord, and be baptized so that your sins may be forgiven. And maybe this morning you would like to do that. We can help you. Or maybe you need the prayers of the church for forgiveness, that of things that you've done that you realize don't reflect that beautiful life that we sung about earlier. And we're ready to pray with you and help you. And whatever your need may be, won't you come and make it known now, while together we stand and while we sing.